This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here today with Brad Schick from SkyTap.
Thanks, Ian. As you said, I'm Brad Schick from SkyTap. I'm the CTO, and SkyTap is a public cloud provider that helps enterprises move traditional workloads that are often deployed on-premise into the cloud. Once they get them in our product, most of our customers are following some sort of modernization journey where they're trying to improve either the technology or the processes that are used to create those applications.
Now, unlike most clouds, which are all x86-based, you actually deal with AIX and you deal with mainframe workloads. Can you give us an idea of what it is customers are moving in on those workloads?
Our whole goal is that customers can move their existing workloads into our product unchanged. And so the more complete set of their applications that they can move into our product, the better. Very often that involves virtualized workloads that are running on x86. Those are fairly straightforward. But in big businesses, mainframes, workstations are still often a big part of their applications. It could be running a database. It could be running a message queue. It could be running something like HANA from SAP. So what our product allows customers to do is move those workloads into our product unchanged. And so what we announced here at this conference at Interconnect is AIX running on native power in SkyTap. With native support for AIX on power, you can move virtual machines and the workloads running into SkyTap unchanged. So it's not an emulation layer. It's actually taking your AIX machines, bringing them into SkyTap and running them on power directly. That lowers the barrier to entry for bringing in these traditional applications because you don't have to change them as much as if you would going to a cloud that was really designed for, say, cloud-native applications that expect you to build to their architectural standards and their environments.
How many customers are doing this because their hardware is at an end of life? And how many customers are just preparing piece by piece and using it maybe as partly hybrid cloud and partly just move a workload to a more expandable platform?
I would say that we see equal parts of change, modernization, and just augmentations. If I start with change, it may be that a customer is trying to replace some component in their stack with some new component, and they need environments or a place to do that work that supports the old and the new together so they don't have a hard cutover. Probably even more than that, we see customers that are keeping the core of their existing applications and augmenting them with new capabilities. So rather than throw away the investments that they've built up and they've created over the last years or potentially decades, they are bringing those workloads into our product unchanged and then adding new capabilities to them and around them. So you may add, for example, a new log processing capability or a new metrics gathering capability, something that didn't exist in your product before that you're bringing to the table.
As customers go down that route and begin to do this, how many of them are taking the opportunity to rework their workload? So, for example, move from one platform to another or redesign the workload? Or is this simply a case of let's move it first and think about it second?
It usually starts with move it first and think about it second, but most customers have a long-term goal in mind. Their plan is not to just move it and let it sit. Their plan is to accomplish some element of modernization, so that's either changing the way the app works itself or adding new capabilities to it. It almost always starts with lift and shift. So step number one in any kind of process like that is get it into a place where I have the ability to modernize it. And so that requires the ability to support the application largely unchanged. The whole goal there is to remove those barriers to entry. There are some cases where customers may just stay in that situation where their goal is to close down data centers and they're happy moving their workload to a new spot and letting it sit. More often, the customer has some long-term goal of improving the way their apps work or improving their processes around their applications. So it's not just about changing the technology or improving the technology. It can also be leveraging cloud-native resources or readily available cloud resources to do things that you couldn't really do on-premise. So how do you do continuous integration or continuous builds if your app stack is running on-premise with a fixed set of hardware that takes you days to deploy and days to configure? It's very difficult to do a build every day or every hour or every check-in. If you move that application into the cloud, then you can accomplish something like continuous integration because you can do a build every 30 seconds where you couldn't on-premise.
Hybrid's been the flavor of the whole conference here, and it's been very much IBM's position going forward that everything is going to be hybrid. How many of these customers are focused on hybrid cloud? Also see this not just about moving, but as an extension to their existing environment?
The vast majority of businesses will be hybrid in some form. When we talk about hybrid, we often try to differentiate between hybrid cloud, which in my mind equates to hybrid infrastructure. It is combining or connecting infrastructure that's running on-premise with infrastructure that's running in the cloud. you can accomplish some things with that. I mean, people talk about DR and occasionally bursting and overflow. I don't think that's really the most interesting situation. I think the more interesting situation is when you're creating what we started calling hybrid applications, or I've also heard people started calling this cloudification. The point is that your application itself is being designed to take advantage of resources that are coming from different providers in different locations. So again, imagine a traditional application that's been around for a long time, and what you want to do is improve some element of it. I always like to use log processing because it's simple to understand and simple to think about. Maybe you were dumping your logs to a file system and you can only keep a certain amount of it. It was difficult to search through it. Send it to distributed, scale out, provided as a service log processing capability, and you've now completely changed your ability to understand what that application is doing and look back and get results more quickly. In my mind, that is now a hybrid application because it's partially old and partially new. And that is where we see the industry going, is creating these applications that are part old and part new. I would also argue that every technology innovation or sea change that we've seen over the last 30 years has gone the same way. I mean, the migration from, say, mainframes to workstations and workstations to client-server and client-server to SOA and cloud, those changes almost never replace what was there in the past. They are almost always used to augment the things that you have. There's stats I love about mainframe penetration in the world. It's something like 75% of the Fortune 500 runs mainframes still, and something like 23 out of the top 25 retailers in the United States still run mainframes. So this stuff doesn't go away. People just build on top of it and augment and add to it, and I think the cloud is doing the same thing, and hybrid is just the latest word for the same process we've been doing for 20, 30 years.
Where do you extend from where you are? At the moment you're taking their machines, you're virtualizing, you're bringing it into a cloud environment. The next stage for many of them is how do they build new apps in that environment. So that's not just about having infrastructure as a service, it's about having a platform as a service layer underneath.
And again, in the enterprise, in businesses, we see a lot of innovation occurring in the cloud, in cloud-native platforms, be it Bluemix, AWS, Azure. Those applications almost always depend on and sit on top of the sea of traditional technology that's been around for a long time. A lot of times businesses go into this, I think, a transformation like this, thinking everything's going to move to the cloud. I want one tool to solve all my problems. It's unrealistic. And the answer to that, in my opinion, is use the right tool for the right job. There's going to be, just like companies use a bunch of different programming languages, a bunch of different databases, a bunch of different everything, any big companies don't have one of anything. And I think the same will be true with the cloud. So what SkyTap and our product is trying to do is help people, help businesses with a certain type of workload. So it's, you know, again, it's the client server x86 virtualized complex Java .NET middleware that's been around for decades. We're not really going after these sort of born in the cloud capabilities. We're not really trying to convince people to build their next-gen mobile front-end in our tool. It's not our specialty. We think using a product like Bluemix to do that, or you know, if you happen to be an Amazon customer going that route, is a fantastic way to do it. And we believe that businesses are going to end up in a situation where they're using multiple clouds. Use the right tool for the right job. What we are attempting to do is make that binding and those connections easier to understand and easier to see. So rather than try to solve all the problems ourselves, we are building in deeper connections with Bluemix and potentially deeper connections with AWS in the future so that customers can get the best of both worlds.
That multiple cloud is quite important for customers. Many of them at the moment want to keep their data on-premises because they're concerned about data sovereignty, privacy, a whole bunch of other issues around there. They're beginning to understand they can move their workloads into cloud and they're getting benefits from that. But they're also not living with just one cloud. They're turning their data platform internally into a cloud environment. They're taking cloud positions on multiple vendors at the moment. How challenging is that for many of the customers you're dealing with when they suddenly find themselves not dealing with one deployment platform, but multiple platforms where they don't necessarily have all the experience of what's going on?
It does definitely increase complexity because the more tools, the more platforms you have, the more deployments, the more locations, there's more you have to manage and deal with. And there are a number of vendors providing tools to help customers have visibility across all those things. But in many ways, I think the movement towards development techniques like DevOps and microservices is actually a direct response to that complexity. So rather than say, the world's getting very complex and there's lots of components and pieces, we need a top-down global view and management of the whole thing. So we can say, deploy all of it at once, or run it all at once, or understand its current state all at one time. It's an impossible problem in some ways. And so rather than try to solve that problem, what we see people doing is moving towards microservices and DevOps and saying, let's break the problem down and this piece is going to be self-contained and it's going to provide a well-defined interface to the outside world. This team is going to manage it and deploy it, and this team is going to be responsible when it breaks. And there can be 10 of those, and they can be deployed in different places, and they can have well-defined communication between them. Rather than try to prevent the spread, or rather than try to get a global unified control of it, you're breaking down the scope of control into more smaller, manageable pieces, and then worrying about how those pieces communicate. So it does bring in a set of new challenges, as you have to worry about how they communicate and what does it look like as a request flows through this. I have a picture I like to show sometimes of what a stack trace looks like in a microservices architecture. You know, it's like a big nest of gnarled lines, right? It does bring its own challenges.
A lot of this is simply about looking at the processes that each platform has, adding the automation, and then bringing it together. How sophisticated, how mature is the wider end user base out there when it starts to think about moving some things to cloud? How do I look at the processes over there? How do I automate and bring that with my processes I have here? Are we reaching a comfortable point of maturity for many of them, or are they still desperately seeking assistance?
I think there's a wide spectrum. We have a lot of customers that are in varying states of their cloud journey. Some have been doing it for a number of years and are very mature and understand the limitations and the capabilities and where to apply what tools. We have others that are frankly still hesitating to go to the cloud and only bringing very limited workloads to the cloud and kind of everything in between. So I guess I would say I don't think there is a single answer to that, and it's hard to even say where the majority of businesses are. I think it really still spans the gamut, and it's continuing to grow and evolve and change. We do often talk about our customer base and our target customers being in really three broad groups. The first group are customers that are really, I would say, pre-cloud. They have not gone headlong into the cloud, and particularly in a production manner, so maybe production is deployed on-premise, and they're just starting to dip their toe into the cloud to solve some specific problem, like, say, development and test. So we'll do dev test in the cloud, and I'm going to bring production back on-premise. So they've used the cloud in a small way to solve a very acute problem. They haven't really gone in headlong. So that's kind of one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum are customers have made a decision that everything's going to the cloud, and they have tried and they have learned and realized, well, some things should go here, some things should go there. You know, they have the sophistication to understand which tool is right for what job, what cloud is right for what application, when should it be on-premise, when should it not. That's another group of customers. And then in the middle of that are a set of customers that want to go to the cloud but haven't really figured it out. And so they maybe have a financial goal or a top-down technical goal, but there's still, frankly, a lot of uncertainty and doubt there about how do they do it, when do they do it, what workloads go first, how are they going to deal with security. That pool, I think, is shrinking over time as people get more comfortable with the cloud, but it's still definitely out there.
How does that put pressure on you in terms of professional services? Are they looking for you to do a lot of the early lift and shift, or are they looking at you as a trusted advisor? What sort of role are they seeing? Because if we look at some clouds out there, there's just simply a destination point.
We have built up our own professional services organization to help customers with that journey. One of the things we learned fairly early on is that it's not sufficient to just hand someone the keys to a great tool and say, have at it. They often need input and help along that journey. Actually, what I would say is our professional services teams can certainly help and can certainly make that smoother. What many customers value is references and referrals and connection with other customers. So rather than take our word for it, they are often very interested in hearing what other customers have done and what their experiences have been and what roadblocks they hit. I think it's why you see at conferences like at Interconnect why sessions with real customers and panels of customer discussions tend to be fairly popular, because rather than take the vendor's word for it, whether SkyTap is the vendor or IBM's the vendor, get it directly from someone who's been through that transformation or change before.
It's interesting, the other editor at Enterprise Times, Steve Brooks, he's an ex-CIO himself, and one of the points he was making to me is that if he's looking at documentation with a CIO hat on, he wants to know why it went wrong, he wants to know where it went wrong, and one of the changes I'm seeing is actually customers now asking that question of vendors, and vendors starting to realise they've got to be more honest and more transparent about how projects go. Do you find that that's a question that you're getting asked directly, or are people just sort of hedging around it and hoping you'll offer up those bits of advice?
We do get asked about the problem sometimes, but I guess I would say what we get asked more is how should we go about this, rather than what problems are we going to face. They ask broader questions I wouldn't say it's quite glossy, but they say, you've seen this before and you've seen it succeed and fail. Is there any commonality to the successes and the failures? Our answer to that is typically that the transformations or the changes that succeed are those that don't start by trying to boil the ocean. So you're the CIO, you have this big vision, and you say everyone has to get on board. Everyone gets confused, everyone struggles. I mean, sometimes they succeed with very strong top-down leadership, but more often than not, we see companies succeeding by picking a proof of concept, picking something that is maybe more tractable or manageable or easier to change, and making it happen and getting everyone involved who needs to make that a success, getting them all on board, and then documenting what you've done and quantifying your results so you can then point at it and say, look, we did this. This app was moved. This process was changed. These are the results we got. You know, nothing bad happened. Let's try to do it again and again and again. And so you repeat that success. Long-winded way of saying start small and prove it out. Don't try to boil the ocean.
But ironically, it's also part of the Agile story, which is what cloud also uses. It's if you don't have repeatability, you don't have a valid process to accelerate.
That's essentially the ethos behind Agile software development, is write off small chunks and iterate. So I guess it's the same thing with cloud, Agile cloud adoption.
How are you doing with skills at the moment? We hear a lot about skill shortage. Are you finding that's becoming a stressor point for you, or is it more of a stressor point for clients, which is also helping drive them towards you?
We are based in Seattle, and there is a definite talent shortage in Seattle. A lot of talented people. That's not the point. The point is there's a lot of people looking for talented people. So you have, obviously, Amazon, and Facebook's now got a growing office, and Google and Oracle and Microsoft and SkyTap and a dozen other startups all looking for talent. We've actually managed to hire people successfully because we have a growing company, interesting technology, people are motivated working in a smaller company. So we've succeeded in hiring people, but it definitely takes work. It definitely takes continual outreach and continual advocacy for our company and for hiring. We have considered expanding our development centers to other locations, but we haven't done it yet. We've kept everything in Seattle to this point. Guess I don't really have a great answer for that one. We don't really get involved at that level. So do they struggle to hire people? I would assume so, but that usually doesn't get deeply exposed to us. Maybe I don't have a good answer for that one.
What are you expecting to see over the next year?
The concerns that companies had about cloud adoption are melting away. Many cloud providers, including SkyTap, have been saying this for a while, that it seems unavoidable that the cloud is in cloud migration and cloud adoption is in the future for most companies. Various analogies have been used to compare past changes to the cloud. In my mind, the analogy to power systems is a very good one. If you look at the early onset of electricity, there was the thought that maybe companies and people would generate their own electricity and generate their own power. And that obviously didn't go that way, because there's large efficiencies gained by consolidating that and building a distribution network and a consumption by the end users. And of course, there's still some specialty areas that need to generate their own power, or at least have the ability to in an emergency, like hospitals or, you know, or data center providers or whatnot. But for the most part, people can consume it as a utility, as a service. And computing, in my mind, is unavoidably heading in that direction. So I would say over the next 5 years, you'll just see more and more of that. Concerns about compliance and security will remain, but be handled and become, instead of blockers, just become important considerations in your transformation. Security is something that comes up all the time. And we have customers that have brought workloads into SkyTap. And I would never claim that SkyTap is perfect or that any cloud provider is perfect, but the problems that we typically see that are security related are due to the applications that are running in our cloud, not to the cloud itself. That doesn't mean the cloud is infallible. There certainly can be problems and outages and whatnot, but ultimately I believe that IBM, AWS, SkyTap, companies that are focused on doing this as a business are going to ultimately be better at providing high availability and high security than a company whose specialty is selling insurance. The point is you're a specialist in your business, not necessarily in computing, and it's inefficient for you to do that, and it's going to be more efficient for someone else to do it. So the transformation will just accelerate, in my opinion, over the next 5 years.
Thank you for your time today.
Excellent. Appreciate it.